from the producers of Cash the Flavor newspaper
comes Cash the Flavor Radio. First and third Tuesday of the month at 7:20 p.m.
Radio hosted by youth from Region Park and other communities.
So Cash the Flavor every first and third Tuesday
at 7:20 p.m.
right here on CKLN
88.1 FM.
You're listening to Cash the Flavor Radio on this beautiful April day. What a day it is, and what weather we're enjoying right now. So we got a jam-packed edition of Catch the Flavor Radio for you tonight for your listening pleasure. So we're going to begin with a piece on some security issues happening in St. Jamestown, which Sarah's going to introduce in a bit. We have Simon, a.k.a. Sly, who's going to be rapping. Is it live or is it CD? What's going on there? It's live?
It's live.
So a live performance by Sly. Then we have an NDP interview with Jean Lara, who's a NDP candidate for Toronto Centre Rosedale, and Justin's going to be taking care of that. Then we have Jamie's websites of the week. So we got a jam-packed show for everyone to enjoy, and for a perfect 88.1 show, perfect day to listen to Catch the Flavor with this wonderful radio, with this wonderful weather, perfect weather to go outside, just put on the radio and relax. But first, we're gonna start off with a piece on some security problems, would you call them, Sarah?
Yeah. Basically, St. Jamestown has been dealing with a lot of security problems for the past, I'd say, 3 or 4 years.
Now, what type of problems? Just don't give it away. But
they're basically run by MTHA security guards, similar to here in Regent Park.
Right.
And a lot of the black youth have been targeted there. Been brutally beaten, and anyone who comes to their defense is also targeted.
So is it security or police or what?
It's mostly their own private security, like MTHA security, but the police have had some involvement in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a pretty serious thing. It's been going on there for a while, and one person in that community, her name's Murphy Brown, and she's been organizing a lot over the past 3 or 4 years about this. And basically, what we're going to hear is some excerpts from an interview that we did. This will eventually be in Catch the Flavor newspaper,
yep.
So you can all read the longer edition there. But we're going to hear some of the excerpt there, both her, Murphy Brown, and one or two other women from the community are on this tape. They're going to give kind of a brief background, some of what's going on, and I guess we can talk more about it then afterwards, I mean. And but generally, when we did this interview, it was last week. They were having a meeting because the MTHA was creating policies to be like, okay, now that we admit that this, you know, racial profiling or targeted harassment is happening, we're going to put some policies in place. And
so MTHA did admit that something was going on, though?
Now, like 3 years ago, they weren't admitting anything. They were like, you know, you're making it up.
Right.
It's just your wonky perception of it. And now they're saying, okay, yeah, maybe it happened. And so they've created some policies to be like, okay, this is how we're going to prevent it. This is how we'll deal with it. And we'll get to more of that afterwards, but let's just go to the interview.
So we have a piece of Murphy Brown and other St. Jamestown activists talking about the security problems in St. Jamestown.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Let's hear it.
Excellent. What we're doing is basically looking at this whole issue, and we just want to know what has taken place since that first incident. So tell us a little bit about that March incident in which this whole issue around security and young people, how they feel about security first came up.
I personally don't know how it started, like how the altercation became, but all I remember was that three youth that live in this community were like, what would you say, like surrounded by police and security guard and beat. The three of them against, like, they were outnumbered. There was like a whole bunch of police and security guards. And then they were charged with, then they tried to charge them. After they brutalized them, they tried to charge them as well.
Okay.
And along with Murphy's help, they went to court and got two of the best lawyers that were available then, and fought, and they got, would you say, lesser end of what?
Right. And how did you first get involved with this whole issue?
I first got involved on March of this year. Like, I always heard what was going on, but I never I understood what was going on, but I didn't hear any of the steps towards helping or progressing towards the future until March of this year, when I went to a meeting at Rose Avenue on the 24th of March, 2003. And it was just out of luck that I was at the center that day and was asked to join the meeting. And from there, I just basically voiced my opinion on what was going on and what the youth need. Like, in the past, say, year, 6 months to 1 year, all of our programs have been dropped. All the programs that we used to have at the center and around the neighborhood have been dropped. Every year we used to have a basketball program, we are no longer allowed to participate in it. Like us, we as in black youth. The programs like the girls group, the African American girls group that we had going on at one time is no longer there because the lady that was working there quit. Everything that we start and try to progress towards either gets cut or we're told there's no more people around. So that's basically what I'm seeing right now.
And what inspired you to get involved at that meeting?
Because I just basically have been living here for like all my life. Basically, I was born and raised around here. I lived in Regent Park for a couple of years of my life, but other than that, I was born and raised around here. And I just have a wide range of community service. Like, I love being involved in my community. I've always been involved in my community since I was younger, and I just continue to do it. Okay. It's something that interests me.
And do you feel like you could speak honestly about the issues that have been... The issues that you feel strongly about?
Yeah. If I feel strongly about something, then words are not an issue. Okay. I can speak on it.
And how do you feel that the Toronto Community Housing has responded to young people with their concerns around this whole security?
After the St. Stephen's report, they really understood that it is a fact. It's not just stuff that we're making up. And they really want to get involved because they don't want to make themselves look bad. They're trying to make themselves look as good as possible by doing as much as they can now that should have been done a long time ago.
And what was the St. Stephen's, just to sum up, what was the St. Stephen's report?
The St. Stephen's report was brought out on the racial profiling in our community towards black youth by the security guards of MTCHC.
Yeah, it took 3 years.
From the time I
made the complaint in 2000, we're now in 2003, and now something is being done. But the very first meeting we had with MTHA was myself and Dudley Laws. They denied that anything like that was happening in the community. They denied that there was racial profiling, even though I gave them a copy of the court decision that the judge had made that what the security guards were doing here was illegal. As a matter of fact, the day after the judge made her ruling, the same security guard who had beat up these who was the instigator, he was back in this community harassing these young people.
On the job. He was on
yes,
the job.
The very next day, he was back here. They talk about violence, about youth being, children being exposed to violence. These people beat these boys in front of a playground at about 4:30 in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. And then the next week we held a demonstration, and then we went to MTHA and told them that this had happened. They denied that there was racial profiling, and then they... Well, of course, I didn't give up. I kept going. I wrote about it to Share newspaper. Actually, they were the only ones who published anything because I wrote to other newspapers. I wrote to, what are the people called that look after things that happen around the world about racism and brutality towards minority people? I forget the name of the organization. Because I went to the one here in Canada and they said they couldn't do anything about it because the countries do not look after their own human rights violations. So I wrote to the one in England. I forget the name of the organization. Not the United Nations. I wrote to them too. So everywhere I went, whether it was my union meetings, convention, everywhere I went, I would speak about what was happening in St. Jamestown. And then at last they decided that they were going to hire St. Stephen's to do this report. And St. Stephen's, it was like pulling teeth. Because every time I would tell them, this is happening, well, Murphy, it's your perception. Nobody else is saying this. So
who would respond?
The St. Stephen's people.
Oh, St. Stephen's. So you are not happy with the St. Stephen's report?
I'm happy. Well, let's say it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. But what I wasn't happy with is the fact that it took them this long and the stress of having to prove to these people that yes, this is happening, even with all that I was giving them. And explaining to them that people will not come forward because people are worried about losing their housing. We live in rent geared to income housing here. You lose this, you have to pay market rent. People were afraid to come forward and say anything. Even when their children were found guilty of bogus charges, they still wouldn't say anything. So it was really, really frustrating dealing with people when they realized, I guess, that it wasn't just me, that I had support. I guess that's when they decided to do something.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, before that they weren't even really looking at it. No. Which is basically, it's your perception.
Yeah, it was my perception. We had two demonstrations in this, right on this Bleecker Street in 2000. One was on March 12th. Because that was the week after these young men were beaten. We got a lot of support from OCAP and from Black Action Defense Committee, from my union, QP, and we had this big demonstration. July 8th, I was attacked by a police officer right here in front of my building. We had another demonstration the week after that, and we had a lot of support. So at that point, I was trying to galvanize this community, but receive no support because to get space to meet in here.
A lot of, in terms of youth turnout to some of these meetings, what's your sense of that?
Our youth turnout right now is not too good. We have youth coming, but they don't stay that long because there's nothing really, basically what I can say, nothing basically that interests them to want to stay longer. All they see is a whole bunch of adults sitting around looking in our faces. They don't want to address what we have to say. They don't want to listen to what we have to say. They just want to talk and make themselves look good. They don't want to listen to what we have to do, what we want to happen. So, majority of my friends and people that I'm in youth that I talk to have either spoken to me, and I come and either tell Sharona, Murphy, we discuss it in this room, write down on paper, and I show up to the meetings. As the, what would you call it, youth?
Liaison.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am hopeful, but cautious. Because I don't see that they realize that they have to deal with us as equals, as human beings. It's like they come from wherever they live, and they come into this community thinking that we are not just second-class citizens, but
lower than them.
Scum! I mean, because you live in a lower-income neighborhood, that seems to make them think that you are less in the way that they treat you. I don't know how much the interaction with security guards and the young people has changed. I'm not sure if the security guards, even though I have been told that they are all aware of the new policy. Okay, she's very open at me telling me nothing has changed.
Nothing.
I don't.
They still kick us out of the building. They still tell us that we're not supposed to be around here. How can I be paying rent? My mom and dad are paying rent and I'm allowed to sit in the building? Okay.
Right.
And we're not making noise. We're just sitting in the building, maybe a couple, like four or five of us just sitting in the building. oh, we have a complaint. Every time they come, oh, we have a complaint, you guys are making noise. We have a complaint, you guys are causing disruption. What? Are they complaining that there's what? Five or six black kids sitting down here? We're causing trouble.
Yeah.
If it was five or six white kids, five or six Filipino kids, five or six Tamil kids, no one would say anything. Not even one soul would be calling no security guards. But since it's five or six black youth in Bleecker, it's a big problem.
And you're listening to Catch the Flavor Radio on CKLN 88.1. So you just heard that emotional tape, that emotions-filled tape about the security problems in St. Jamestown. So Sarah, we just heard how security does act in St. Jamestown, according to some people. Now we're going to hear how they should act, or how what the rules tell them to act.
At least how they claim they're going to act.
Yeah, I mean, what I've got here are some of the highlights from the new policy that they put out for the St. Jamestown and MTHA security. That they have, or sorry, I keep saying MTHA, it's TCHC, but
that's similar. A new name, right?
That's Toronto Housing. But anyways, so within some of these highlights of their guidelines, they're saying that, you know, security is supposed to get involved if they see people whose behavior is persistent and disruptive or antisocial. What does that mean?
Yeah, that seems very vague to me.
I mean, that's a actual, like, diagnostic term.
Right,
mental health, right? Criminal, or, and this one I really like, has a negative impact on community health. And some of what
to me, that means if some guy is sick, if some guy is coughing, you can start questioning them. That's very vague.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of there's a lot of racism that's fueling what's going on in St. Jamestown. And I mean, some of it's really, really appalling because it's how blatant it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's some of the argument there is that the black kids can't sit in their own common in areas in the buildings and on the property, whereas the white kids can.
Right.
And the complaints come because they don't. I mean I'll say it. The white people there, they don't like to see groups of black kids sitting out.
Right.
Right. And that's what I think, you know, kind of, I hate to say it, but justifies the negative impact on community health. And this is now almost what could be said a legal way to get them to target people, right?
Do you think this is any different than the racism we see in the rest of the city? Like, do you think what we're seeing in St. Jamestown, like the whites being maybe a little bit afraid of the blacks, mm-hmm. telling the security to get rid of the blacks, do you think that's different than what we see in the rest of Toronto?
I don't think so. I think it's probably a bit more concentrated, and only because, I mean, St. Jamestown is such a highly populated area, mm-hmm. and it's a small space,
right.
You know, consider the amount of people there. And that's
what I get from it, just like hearing the piece and hearing you speak. Like, there's white people and black people so close together in ways that they may not be in other parts of the city. Like, we hear Toronto's such a multicultural mm-hmm. city, but there's still, like, there's groups of people here and different groups of people there, but everyone's so concentrated and so mixed together that maybe that's a...
Yeah, and I think the fact that it's really, like, a low-income project as well, right?
Right.
And that just heightens it because a lot of the scapegoating that goes on, like, why am I poor?
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, history tells it, like, white people just blame mm-hmm. others, right? They're just like, yeah, if you weren't here, I wouldn't be poor. And
right.
I mean, and some of that anger fuels it. But, I mean, I don't think that's justified or anything. I think people are just plain ignorant and stupid. And, but unfortunately, they know what they're doing, right? And these security officers, they know what they're doing. And that's why they target the black kids, right? And, because a lot of times, like, the white kids aren't getting targeted.
All right. So, Sarah, before we go to Simon with the musical break, do you want to wrap this up? What can you say to let our listeners know exactly what's going on?
Well, basically, I in my opinion, I don't think these policies and everything has changed anything. I mean, it just kind of put a piece of paper down. The security's still going to act. And like the girl was saying on the tape, they are still acting as they always have been, which is unfortunate. But if they want to get in touch with anybody, I mean, I don't have the contact information right here, but if any of our listeners are interested, they could call us here at Focus, which our regular number is 416-863-1074, and we can hook them up with the different, mostly with Murphy Brown and her project up there. So, I guess that's what I'll say on that.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for educating us about the security issues in St. Jamestown. And now... here's Simon, a.k.a. Sly, with a little musical interlude.
Cool. I saw we in two styles. Not just a bone and a bone. live from no man's land. Saul Williams. Yo. Now let's get it all in perspective. Shift the objective. You've been missing.
Yeah, there we go.
That wasn't Simon right there. It sounded pretty good, but we got Simon coming in right now. Listen up.
Yeah, this is produced by DJ Akko, man. Hooked it up on the weekend for me. All right. Yeah. Yo, we just chillin' while we ill on the scene. Trying to milk us the cream. Killing the teens with these villainous schemes. Once with children and clean, eager to build on a dream. Now it's hard to be fulfilled when I act shrill as a fiend. The alcohol makes me fall in the bottomless pits. Every time the bottle is hit, all of my models are split. I used to call it the shit, never wanna bother with it. But I'm still smoking slips, drunk on Lucky Lager, I'm blitzed. Little by little, I realize the pieces don't fit into puddles. My thoughts are muddled. I wanna scream, but I'm muzzled. I kinda struggle with myself and just add to the trouble, solving half of the problems. But then it just doubles and spreads out like a drop in a puddle, but behaves like tidal waves, cause none of it's subtle. Meanwhile, I'm stuck trying to come up with rebuttals, but end up with muscles that seem like crumbling rubble. Struck with some knuckles, it just stuck in a bubble and locked away from society. Except the fact that it's another side of me, but it still is decidedly so. That the way I flow is pro, and as soon as it's played, it explodes. It's amazing and cold, never be played out and old, cause I'ma always keep it fresh. Putting MCs to the test as I press in their chest, stressing the best and left them a mess. Burn them like cess when it's compressed. Crack open, the 40 strike a match and light the bone. All the time I wanna rhyme, so just pass up the microphone. I'm in the zone, and I'm ready to rip it with full throttle. Leave your boggle with distorted models from within a bottle. I gotta toggle the spot with twisted hip hop off the top. Or even if I jotted it down, I'm dropping the sound. A lot of the times I lock with the nouns. Knock, knock, feel the pounds of the earth quaking underground now. Back to business, his rap's my witness. I keep my style straight up and ill, like I had a sickness. Ripping it slick, ain't even slipping a bit. Just killing it quick as it kicks, since within this trip is the shit. You dismissed by the trick, here it goes, I'm flipping the switch. Have you hit with the mix, inflict persistent ballistics that blitz. You can't rip it as mystical or as rhythmic as this. You heard it from Sly, a listed miss bit with a spliff. Yeah. Yeah. Alright, check it out, without a doubt I shout the rhymes out like a spout, so you know what I'm about. Flowing like a fountain, pouncing, never bouncing from the words I'm pronouncing. Yo, you need some counseling if you think I'm renouncing the essence of every sentence. I was once an apprentice, now trying to sense as an endless approach. With every roach that I smoke, I'll go for broke, even if it is a joke. Differences invoke a consistency. I persistently blitz words that you never see an MC resist. It's freestyle, get written, cause I'm wrecked right now, and it's what my mind's been spitting. I'm revealing what was hidden, it's forbidden. I'm not kidding, I'm on a mission with ambition. Dismissing MCs that are wishing for riches, I just kiss them goodbye. Cause Sly doesn't deny what is applied to the track. My rap's fat and intact, that's no lie. So don't try to be testing me, I drop it heavily, making you feel heavenly with every sentence successfully. Atco blessed the beat and left the rest of me, leaving ladies feeling ecstasy through all of its complexity. Especially since MCs are talking rectally and blowing smoke, I'll make you overdose until you're comatose. The poet's spoken and you know it's open for no discussion, cause I'm thrusting through the percussion that DJ Atco's busting.
Simon, Sizzla, Sly, big up, big up.
Yeah.
Big up. You got anything you want to say before we take it off with Justin? All right, big up, Simon, big ups. Now we take off to the political piece. We got Justin interviewing Jean Lara from the NDP, so take it away.
All right, welcome to the main event. Glad you guys had another 20 minutes to catch the flavor. That went, I'm sure, pretty good in your ear. I must congratulate, of course, Simon again. You know, he ripped it. And we gotta move to the main headliner, Jean Lara, who is the NDP candidate for this building right here, 600 Dundas Street East. You know, we're live from the basement in the heart of the park. And it's nice to be with you here, Jean. Good evening.
Good evening, Justin. And I'm very, very honored to be here with you. And if I can make a wish, I wish I will be younger as you, because it seems it's very enjoyable to be with you tonight, and I could see that you are doing such a good job in the community.
Well, thank you.
You have the Catch the Flavor newspaper and Catch the Flavor radio. It's very commendable.
Thank you.
And I will not be surprised that someday one of you will be the leader of tomorrow. One or two or three of you. Yes, you, it's a very good project that you have. It's very, very commendable. I wish I'll be younger.
Well, we're actually 45 years old. We're not that young. It's just good makeup. And
we have wicked producers here, right?
Yeah.
You have makeup, and then I understand you even have this picture photography.
Yeah, photography.
Amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
And I wish that we will go on and support you all throughout. This is a very good example that we could show to the community, to other areas of our riding. Wonderful. Yes.
Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Jean represents, she's running as a candidate for the Toronto Centre Rosedale riding, which is encompasses, of course, the park and, of course, Rosedale and, of course, every from your block to my block, you know. And so, basically, yeah, that was it's pretty good to have her here with us tonight. I guess we could challenge Smitherman now to, you know, she gave us a pretty good heads up. So I think we're all sort of enticed to politically vote for her if I was old enough. But it's good to have you with us in the park. Just taking a look around the park, what does it look like to you? And what kind of changes would you like to see?
I know for a fact that there are some changes that they would like to do in the park. But, we are, if you will look at the St. Lawrence area, it's a very good combination of tenants. And of course, it's if we will pay attention more closely to this area, there are great potential, I mean resources, human resources of people that they have all the skills and the abilities. I'm very proud that this is an area that I would respect.
Thank you. Taking a look at Regent Park, though, it looks almost like it's been referred to as a city within a city. It has there's hospitals right across the street. There's down the street. There's more likely police across the street. There's fire and all that kind of stuff. There's MTHA that houses the community, and also polices as well the community. And we were just talking about St. Jamestown and the policing going on in their community. What sort of atmosphere have you gotten from? Have you spent any time in the Toronto Centre Rosedale riding prior to being a candidate?
To be truthful with you, I am not really have any inclination of being a politician. However, I deal with grassroots. They come to me, they ask help, so I know the grassroots feeling, the community's feeling, their problems. So when this opportunity came, I said yes, because I believe who can understand us better but people like me. I live here in Howard Street, so I really know how it feels. I have the pulse of the community. I understand what we're going through, and I was an immigrant.
I heard you spent some time back in the day with the Saline Community Center. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that also encompasses the area, and that's quite a bit of work you've done there in terms of helping, like you said, the grassroots.
Justin, all my life, I work with grassroots people, community organizations. I started first as a trade union leader, and then I studied in Mount Carmel International Training Center for Women for Community Development. And then we landed here in Canada, because my husband and I were exiled. And when we are in Canada, in Regina, Saskatchewan, minus 50 all the time, most of the time during winter. And I became the executive director of Immigrant Women of Saskatchewan. And then my children would like to move to Toronto, so they came here ahead. And I followed them. I got a job at Interseed as coordinator temporarily because the coordinator was sick and I have to do the job. So I said, I better go to Toronto. Maybe I'll be a grandmother. Yes, I became a grandmother. Now, after I finished my work there, I went to organize at the Our Lady of Lourdes Church, the Parish Social Ministry, because I see that there are lack of services for the people. Across that is 25,000. St. Jamestown has more than 25,000 tenants. And then, at the same time, I was requested to help the Silayan Community Center to revive it, to make it active. And so then later on, I was approached by the Toronto Center Rosedale Riding to run. The reason why I ran, because we were facing the rent increases and many people come to me and they're crying they cannot make their income enough. So we organized the St. Jamestown Tenants Network. And then I went and approached your friend, George Smitherman, to help us. I said, please help us. There is really, the people in the community is really battered with rent increases. But nothing happened. So that's what happened to that situation. So I said, well, if this is the case, then we might as well have a voice in Parliament. They don't want to help us. I'll do it. I'll accept it, and I'll accept the challenge.
Excellent. Now, in terms of the community in general, what kind of changes would we see if Jean Lara was elected and she, you know, triumphantly kicked George Smitherman down the political agenda and became the leader here for, you know, 600 Dundas Street East and the Regent Park community in general, the St. Jamestown Park, you know, and what kind of action would you be in terms of a leader in the community?
Justin, I am in for development. I'm in for beautiful things. I'm in for improvement on condition that the people will not be hurt. On condition that the people are safe and there is no disruption in their family life or making it worse. We have to consider first of all the well-being of the people. That is my line. That's my line of thought, and that's my vision and my passion. People are more important, more than anything else. So that's the key that I'm saying. And of course, the people should always be participating, and if that's what they want, we have to respect.
Okay, thank you very much, Jean, for being with us. If you'd like to, could you give information about contact stuff? I know there's a website that I know has been getting millions of hits a day, jeanlara.ca, but...
I would like to invite you to visit our campaign headquarters. It's located at 246 Gerard. We are neighbors.
Yeah, just down the street, yeah.
So if you have time, do drop by. And I'm a poor woman. I don't know, no big corporations donate to my campaign. So maybe I have to ask your help, the youth, to come and help us in the campaign headquarters.
And they just did a really wicked blitz around campaigning. They dropped by my house at 600 Dundas East and definitely have been doing a really great job. We wish you real luck here from all of us at Catch the Flava here
at 600 Dundas Street East, and we really hope that you are going to be the one to represent us, because you really embody a lot of the, you really reflect a lot of what people are, the diversity in the community.
That's very true. That's very true.
Thank you
I
very much.
I feel with you. I am with you. I understand your problems. I have been through, and I want to make the difference.
Thank you,
Gene. Right across the street, too, you know? You
exactly.
Know how it is.
Exactly. We don't even have to take the TTC to get
yes.
over there. Wow. All okay. Right. Now, Dave?
Well, our time's just flying away, as always. One thing I want to start around here. Are we just going to take a quick musical break and come back, or should we just wrap it? Just wrap it. All right. Now, I want to start a new thing. I'm going to give out some internet addresses every week. This one, the one for the week this time, is recoilmag.com. It's by poking fun at the mass media, politics, and world events with well-written and witty articles and editorials. It's an amazing little bit of reading. It opens some of the stuff really opens your eyes. It's great reading. So that's recoilmag.com. And Catch the Flavor Radio is a presentation of Regent Park Focus, the home of iVideo Youth Productions, Catch the Flavor Newspaper, and the new Zap Rally Photography Studio for the Arts. Catch the Flavor Radio. What were you going to say there?
I was just going to say my lates, but keep going. You're doing
all
a good
right.
job.
Alrighty. It's on the first and third Tuesday of the month from 7:20 until 8. And this month, there's also a fifth Tuesday, so that's one more Catch the Flavor.
Yeah, one more edition. Month. You got to catch that flavor. You know what I'm saying?
Catch it.
All right. All right, we're gonna let you hear this tune. It's Saul Williams, and we'll bring him down like that.
All right, this is Catch the Flavor Radio here on the Voice of the Underground, CKLN.
My tongue is my gun, aiming for the truth. They got a silencer and aiming straight at the youth. And all they talk of terrorism's nothing but a spoof. Yo, I say let them shoot. My tongue is my gun, aiming for the truth. They got a silencer and aiming straight at the youth. And all they talk of terrorism's nothing but a spoof. We was the first type of oil that they ever stole. Now fuck the oil metaphor, son, we was gold. But let the truth be told, we was platinum. Now they want a deal and asking us to back them. War, don't start to no be none. We fighting for freedom. Yeah, they say they is, but son, I don't believe.